The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Mark Gunger shares what he calls the 9 Beatitudes of marriage.
You know, some of the sweetest people in the world, they go to church, they're singing and clapping, and they just love everybody until you get them home. And then, you know, then the demons come out, they're all screaming and yelling at each other. Because for some reason, they think, I don't have to be nice. I'm married. I don't have to be nice.
Laugh your way to a better marriage. Next.
Joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty, and this is James, and we've been married for 50 years, but we're going to learn how to be married a little bit longer.
Yeah, maybe a lot longer.
Maybe
now,
a lot.
This guy, Mark Gunger, he's funny. He's a pastor. Sometimes the way he communicates, I think he's a pastor. This guy's really fun and funny, and he's written a book. It's kind of cute. Looks like something he wrote for the kids, you know. Beatitudes of Marriage, 9 Simple Steps to a Healthier, Happier Marriage. And he teaches marriage seminars all over the country. And we're going to give you his website a little later. But why don't you welcome Mark Gunger back to Life Today. Mark, it's good to have you, buddy.
Yeah.
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Well, Betty and I made it. We made it. We made it 50 years.
There's hope.
That's right, buddy. She gave me a 1-year extension. So one more. All right. Tell us what you really, let me look at these titles, and then I want you to pick the ones that you want to talk about.
Now, you notice it's very simple.
It is.
It's illustrated, mm-hmm. Which is great for men.
Right. Pictures.
There's pictures, boys. You can read it. And it's a real simple read,
yep.
Which really most guys, you know, you come in and say, here, honey, I want you to read this book on marriage. You know, he's just not going to do it, okay? It's too big. But this one he will, because it's real simple. And it's a great gift. You know what? It's the kind of book that you could put on, like on your table and start
sure.
conversations and stuff. People pick it up. Just 9 simple truths about marriage.
Can I read all 9 of them?
You can. Yeah, sure.
Be nice, be content, be connected, be prepared, be proactive, be clear, be doers, be patient, be dead. Oh, my. You mean wish they were dead? Is that what you're saying?
No, not exactly.
Well, pick out the ones you want to talk about, because this is not Oprah, and we don't have all that. So we right. have a you know, short amount of time.
I get it. Okay.
Help us.
So Jesus gave his Beatitudes, the 9 things on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the, you know, fancy word for
right.
blessing or whatever. So just a play off words, the Beatitudes. I said, well, we're going to have the Beatitudes of marriage, 9 Beatitudes, attitudes that you ought to be. Okay?
I'm
just
ready.
Simple things that people can do so they can maintain.
Now you're talking to both of us. You're looking at me. You're looking
whoever needs
to both.
It most.
To everybody.
Okay.
All right? And they're just very simple things. So the first one, chapter 1, is be nice. Be nice. People say, what's the key to being married? Be nice. For heaven's sake, people are so puking mean.
Yeah.
You know, a marriage license is not permission to be mean as a rattlesnake.
No.
You know,
right.
some of the sweetest people in the world, they go to church, they're singing and clapping, and they just love everybody until you get them home. And then, you know, then the demons come out, they're all screaming and yelling at each other. You don't know what you're talking about. Shut up. You know, and just going back and forth. You'd be shocked
yeah.
if you could hear what yeah. goes on in people's homes, because for some reason they think, I don't have to be nice. I'm married. I don't have to be nice. But, and you know what? A lot of it goes back to some terrible advice that popped up in Western culture, I don't know, 40 years ago, whatever. I don't know who the guy was who came up with the advice, but we ought to take him and beat him. But anyway, that is you have to be honest with how you feel. You have to be honest. One of the most important things in marriage, you've all heard this, right? You have to be honest with how you feel. So you have couples emotionally vomiting all over each other. Because they have to be honest with each other. But that's insane. It's crazy. My wife and I just celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah? And people say, how have you been married for 40 years? And I always say, it's because we're not honest with how we feel. Good Lord. Who does that? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's days my wife gets up, wakes up in the morning, looks at me and feels she's been blessed by God. I'm sure this morning she wakes up, looks at me, and is convinced she married the spawn of hell. You know? A simple good morning will suffice, right? I don't need to hear that.
Yeah.
Only in marriage are we so incomprehensibly stupid. Mm-hmm. Who lives by their feelings? Being honest with you, can you imagine people tomorrow deciding to go to work based on how they feel? You know, yeah, boss, listen, I'd really love to come to work. I really would, but I'm not feeling it. and I feel you're an idiot. You know, he's being honest, right? Well, you'd get fired. Nobody does that in any area of life. In fact, the key to success in life is not to listen to how you feel. Now, this is an important thing, particularly for the male culture. Now, we all talked about the feminization of the male culture over the years, you know, because so many women have been convinced that if men would just be more emotive, more in touch with their feelings, that it would be better for men. But it's not. It's a bad formula for men, because men tend to feel very bad things. We do. Women feel good things. They're very emotive, and they feel altruistic things. A bunch of women will walk into a dirty room, and they'll all look at each other and go, oh, let's clean this place up. Right? Dude, I have never been with a bunch of guys. Never walked in the room and said, you know, brother, we ought to get a broom and straighten this place up. We don't feel good things. A man gets mad, he feels like punching in the face. Best we not do that, right? A guy sees a pretty girl, we feel like going, you know, best we not do that, okay? In fact, if you're gonna help your boys succeed, you fathers, you gotta teach your boys you don't live by how you feel. A man lives by what is right and what is righteous. And we don't listen to our emotions, our feelings, it can be the undoing of us. So that's just the first one. It's just.
Well, go for another one. Let's hear another. This is good.
Okay, another one. Be connected.
What does that mean? Get
some friends. Some of you people, good Lord. You know, don't people have friends? Well, they have personal friends, you know. Well, I got my friends, he's got his friends. Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. Because we all have crazy people that are our friends, right? That's why they're our friends, because they think as dumb as we do, right? Oh, we love our friends. But you know, they don't have any couples friends. You know, because you know pastors and stuff. I mean, the amount of time that is spent marriage counseling and couples coming in and sticking a straw in the pastor's brain and sucking the life out of him. It's like, oh, seriously, just get some friends. You can't get some people to talk about. But you know what? In America, we have this thinking, you know, no one should know our business. It's our business. No one should know our business. And they try to live on an island. Marriage was never designed to be two people on an island. Y'all live on an island, just you and your spouse, you will turn into cannibals and eat each other. Get off the island, for heaven's sakes. Get talk stuff through. Because we all argue about the stupid things on Earth, right? Mm-hmm. And we think it's so important to us, you know. I want the thermostat at 72. She wants it at 70. I want it at 72. She wants it at 70. Your friends will probably say, well, have you tried 71? Never thought of that, you know? And it would be so healthy to talk. My wife and I do this all the time. We talk with people and talk our crazy out.
Yeah.
You know, because then you get perspective. People that you can trust that are your friends and stuff like that. And seriously, if people would just get friends, I'm talking about other couples, y'all have barbecues and stuff, invite them over. Talk stuff, you know, we've been arguing about this. And you know, number one, you'll find out they argue about the same stupid things you do. Yeah. All right? And number three, somebody in the group has figured out an answer. You know what I'm saying?
It's good.
And so it's just get connected.
And you
connected.
Can at least care about each other when you're connected.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
But when we're Christians, see. We have to be phony. Oh, come on, you know what I'm talking about. You know,
I'm sorry.
How you doing?
I do,
yeah. Well, yeah, praise God. Yeah. Fabulous. You know, bunch of liars, you know. On the way to church, they're yelling at each other and casting the devil out of their kids. Shut up back there! Shut up! I'll kill you if you don't stop that! You know, and you walk in church, how you doing? Oh, praise God, good. We just thank the Lord for everything he's done in our lives. Do you know there will be thousands of people listening to me today that this week they found out that somebody in their church is getting divorced and they had no idea they didn't even like each other. They had no idea they were having troubles. Why? Because they play a stupid game. Nobody should know our business. Oh, some counselor will know the business, you know, but they can't tell anybody anything. But if you would just talk to friends and get some input, and at least people can pray with you if nothing else, but give you some practical advice on how to. So get connected.
By the way, we're laughing and we're having fun, but he's downloading a whole lot of truth, which is exactly what he does in the Beatitudes of Marriage. And Mark's helping a lot of people. Sure, we should be able to laugh our way to health. And I really think that's one of the things you try to show people that can happen. and that they can laugh the way, that the laughter and the joy is medicine. To health,
oh, not okay.
you didn't get the you didn't get the TA.
We're laughing our way to hell. That's a different book. I didn't write that book.
All right, give me
I just want to get on the same page.
Move
that's
on,
all. I don't know what direction y'all going there for me.
Take the next little step, will you? I can hardly wait.
There's several. I'm trying to think of them.
Give us something sad, will you?
Be clear. That's a new one. Be clear, okay? Now, every marriage has one, generally, most marriages have one person who's very emotive, and the other one's much more alone.
Define that word. That's new to me.
Emotive. You know, they're just very emotional. They feel big, and they communicate emotions and stuff. Usually, it's the woman, but not always. There's a lot of marriages where it's the wife who's sane, and it's the man... You know, who is, we feel everything. And here's the problem with an emotive person. They are so convinced of their emotions, and they're so aware of their emotions, they can't imagine the other person doesn't have a clue. So they drop all kinds of little hints that they think is real obvious. You know, well, I'm mad at you. Really? I didn't know that. Well, I told you. When did you tell me that? You remember when I said, seriously, I thought you had gas, man. I didn't know what that was. What is that? You know, they drop little, you know. And the other person's supposed to know what's going on, okay? Stop that. Quit being crazy. You have to tell people what's bothering you, right? Okay. And again, it's not always the woman. Usually is. But not always. Because sometimes it's the guy, because I'm that way. My wife's like, she's normal, and I'm like this Mr. Emotive. La, 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 la. And here's the problem. Emotive people get around other emotive people, and they all understand. You know, the ladies get together and say, oh, I was just feeling, you know, I could tell you were feeling that. I could just tell right away, you know. So she can't understand why he's such an idiot. You know, that kind of thing, or why the wife can't understand stuff. So just be clear, for heaven's sakes.
Well, a lot of times that's hard because women and men speak different languages.
Yes, we speak English.
We express ourselves. Yeah.
Speak habla inglés. Speak English.
Now, was the next one you wanted to touch on be dead?
Be dead, yes.
Okay.
Be dead. Okay, that's the last one in there.
All right.
Okay, and I love the picture. Can I show you the picture?
Yeah, let's see the picture.
This is very spiritual. Okay, be
dead. They're in the casket.
They're looking at themselves in the casket. Now, what's that about? You know, you can't possibly read the New Testament, the Gospels, without getting the sense that God wants to kill you. All right? Now, I'm not talking the physical you, but how many times did you... So we don't hear this, because so much of the Gospel is just God wants everybody to be happy. You know, well, that's not necessarily true. A lot of times we have to do make us unhappy. You ever fast? There's a party. You know, not everything spiritual is happy, okay?
Right.
But Jesus said, you know, you need to lay down your life. You need to pick up your cross. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Okay, all that stuff. So God wants to kill the selfish part of you. And there's no more perfect institution designed to kill you than marriage. Because you can't do it and stay selfish. And all marriages end for only one reason, and one reason only. Somebody gets selfish. It all boils down to that. So what we have to learn is to die to ourselves. Everybody's calling you, Pastor, how to get my husband to do this? How to get my wife to do that? First of all, nobody's a robot. You can't get everything you want in marriage. Anybody notice this? You know, and I get mad because they can't have what they want. It's like, check your medication. Calm down. Nobody gets everything they want, okay? And at some point, you're not even supposed to get everything you want. That's what people don't want to hear. We need to learn to die to ourselves. And Jesus gave a perfect example. He said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it will remain alone, right? And boy, that doesn't describe a lot of Christians. They're just dark and it's cold and they're in the dirt and they come to the pastor and say, Pastor, I keep breathing dirt and I can't see nothing and it's hard to move. Pastor, what should I do? Die already, for heaven's sakes! Because Jesus said, if you will die, then new life will burst out of you. You'll learn to let go and let God. Yeah. You will climb out of that dirt of your life and break into the glorious sunshine of His grace. But you can't do it if you just don't let go. So.
You know, is he fun? Y'all appreciate his humor and what he's giving the message to girls. I like it. I love you, Mark. And there's Mark's website. And you can go there, get the book, likely get it online. Amazon, I'm sure, has it. And you can go there and order it immediately. I think you'll find it fun and inspirationally informative. But you'll also find where he's teaching marriage seminars that you're going to enjoy going to, but it's going to be transforming because he makes the point, he makes it clear, and it's fun, and it can impact you in a positive way. Betty and I have been married 10 years longer than you and your wife. You said 40, we've been married 50. And I will say this, and I think most people who watch this, they wonder, and you know, they'll come and ask our staff when they get them, they really like that. What are they really like? I mean, tell us what they're really like. And this is really who we are, and we do talk straight to one another, and she is tough. But you know what? We find joy in what the other person enjoys. We actually find our focus first on God, and we mean that. That's not religious church talk. We're talking about God relationship like a father, like a friend, like one who will direct your steps and encourage and pick you up when your heart's broken, as ours has been broken, as you know, if you've followed the program with the loss of our youngest daughter. And God holds us. Well, we find joy in holding one another and lifting one another up and being one another's encourager while we're being honest. And we can share. She doesn't really have to go and find somebody to hold her hurt or care about what she cares about or be excited. I get up looking for what puts joy and a smile on her face. And she does that for me. And I don't really think that's all that hard to do. But you really do have to die to yourself, in a very true sense of the word, to begin to live for God and live for others. So really what Mark is saying to us is biblical truth, where he expresses it in a fun way. And one of the reasons you're laughing is not just because he's animated and funny, but you identify with what he's talking about. Of course, some of you want to say, well, it's my neighbor. But the truth is, it's too close to home. And the fact that we can laugh about it is in itself healing. But then if we will just apply truth to the situation and the spirit and life and love of God, nothing's impossible. I do hope you'll get the book. I do hope you'll check out the website and see where he's in seminars. Join us again saying thanks to Mark Gunger for what he is doing and saying and sharing as a pastor and a leader.
Thank you, guys.
Mark, one of the things that we have told our viewers that to live life fully, express it freely. If you ever wanted a shoulder to lean on when you hurt, ask God to make you a shoulder for someone else to lean on. Be the hands that reach out to pick someone in need up like you would wish somebody would if you were in a tough spot. I want you to look, watch, and respond as God prompts to what you see.
This is Okun. She is 4 years old. And her frail body tells you something is terribly wrong. Her parents have died, and her surviving uncle is the only one left to care for her. But why? Why is this weakened little girl struggling to survive?
So when the child was brought, he was having severe malnutrition. In fact, for Akun, it was a lack of food. It was the lack of food.
An immune system broken down by malnutrition, broken down by starvation. In a matter of days, Akun's body could reach a point of no return. In a downward spiral that could ultimately take her life, all from a lack of food. Just food. Her uncle's best effort may not be enough for Okun, but yours would be for both Okun and so many like her.
I see you, honey. I want to put the arms of a loving father around that little girl the uncle is caring for. And we can, because there are missionaries in place with a broken heart, a heavy heart, and they really want to give that little girl, who represents, and sometimes the number causes you to lose sight of the preciousness of one individual life, but there are 420,000 right now that are already in settings where we found them. And we're trying to do what we want to do for her, and that's establish a feeding center and restore their health, give them the nutrition, which is mixed in a nutritious porridge-based mix, and take care of them and literally give them a bowl to replace cans or plastic bags that they bring to get something to eat. We want to give them a heat-resistant bowl that you, the viewer, said, give them a bowl so they don't burn their little hands. And so you've done that. And now then, we are giving what this bronze illustrates. Here's an older brother feeding a malnourished brother. We call it brotherly love, but he's feeding out of a bowl that somebody like you gave with food in it that someone like you gave, and he's taking care of his little brother. And amazingly, Betty, the older, stronger children feed the little ones, and they're weak, and we feed all of them. And when I say we, do you understand that we encompasses a whole host of people around the world? You and I do our part gladly. And we've been doing it now for nearly 25 years, faithfully, from the moment we found not only the hungry and the thirsty, but we found the mission workers who had given their lives to give them life. And the missionaries said, go back and tell so we can stay here and help and point them to God. And so they show them love, they share love, they give them life, and they tell them about the love of God. In our mission feeding programs, a couple of times a year, we ask you to help us. A gift of $30 or $50 or $100, we can feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next several months. But now, Betty, we got a miracle. Yes. Some of our friends who love what we're doing, they're excited about it, they said, we'll match what you give right now. So if you want to help save the lives of 10 kids with a $100 gift, you're going to actually save the lives of 20 kids. Think about that, what you do right now. And no gift is too small. I mean, you say, well, give $30 for 3 kids. It's big to those 3 kids and their family. But now it's going to become 6 kids. $50 is not 5 kids right now because of the friends who match your gift. It's 10 kids. You give $1,000, it's not 100 children we're able to feed, but 200. We have some spiritual gifts for you to feed you spiritual nourishment by Christine Kane and the books that she's written to bless you. So would you go to the phone, take your bank card, use it like a check, or go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift God put on your heart. I pray you'll do it right now. I'm asking now. Don't just sit there and say, well, I hope somebody does it. You be the answer to that hope. You be the answer to the heart cry. You be the answer to the prayer. You be the answer to the need. You can be the answer for someone, for many. Help as many as you can right now. Make that call. Make that gift.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. But our food reserves are gone, and we desperately need your support to replenish our supplies at more than 800 feeding centers immediately. As an answer to prayer, a group of Life's friends have set a $550,000 end-of-year matching challenge for mission feeding. This means your gift today can have a double impact. $30 to help feed 3 children will be double to impact 6 children. $50 to help feed 5 children will be double to help save 10 children. And $100 for 10 children will be double to help feed and minister to 20 children. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you Christine Cain's powerful new teaching series, Moving Past Your Past, on audio CD, along with her book, Can I Have and Do It All, Please? With your double impact gift of $100 to help save the lives of 20 children, you may request both the audio and video series. And as a bonus, we'll send you Christine's latest book release, Undaunted. Finally, please consider a double impact gift of $1,000 to help save the lives of 200 children, and you may request our 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Brotherly Love. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, here are two children at school. This little guy's got the United States flag on. I want our country to always be known as a country that gives life to children like these, not only saving their life from starvation, but from malnutrition that keeps them from learning as they should. Everyone in the United States watching me right now, you have a chance to make a gift. And all our Canadian, Australian friends, United Kingdom, European friends, let's all help. Would you right now go to the phone or go online and respond and make the best gift you can possibly make? Please do it. Don't turn away. Do what you can to help.
We're going to be sending you Christine Cain's teaching material, Moving Past Your Past. If you'd like to have Mark Gunger's book, The Beatitudes of Marriage, you say, you know what? I like what he had to say. I want to read this. Sit down with my spouse and we'll read it prayerfully together and we'll begin to apply it. And you know, we in the blessed world have so much to be grateful for, and around the Thanksgiving season, as we look forward to the greatest season of giving when God gave the greatest gift, you be grateful. You be grateful for what you have enough to share with others and bless them. Thank you for doing that. Would you say thanks to Mark Gunger again? Mark, we appreciate you. Thanks for making us smile.
Thank you. What's up?
Thanks for brightening our day.
Thank you.
And thanks for helping. Thank all of you. We are grateful. We are thankful for you. And people all over the world are thankful for your love and your help. God bless you.
There were times I was crawling into the pulpit, didn't know if I could make it. One time I didn't make it through.
Next week, Pastor Jack Graham shares about angels, Satan, heaven, and hell. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.